I suppose that applies to women as well. The best of human beings are human beings at best. If we went back to the beginning of our Bible, which we are not going to do, there's a man in the beginning of our Bible in chapter 4 of Genesis, and his name is Enos, E-N-O-S. And it comes from the Hebrew word Enosh, with an H on the end. And Enosh in the Bible is the name of a man. And there are many names for man in the Bible. But Enosh means a frail, mortal man. A man who is incurable. And he was Adam's grandson, the son of Seth. And there we see it, 250 years after creation. And there's a man called frail, mortal man. An incurable man. And he's incurable, not because God made man that way, but he's incurable because of sin and because of the fall of Adam. And that's not what we're talking about this morning. But Charlotte and I, Mrs. Davis sat back there, and I were in Llandovery yesterday, and we stopped for coffee and something to eat. And on the wall was a number of calendars, Welsh ones, and people were speaking in Welsh. It's great to hear people speaking naturally in Welsh. You don't hear it very often. But on the calendar, today's date, is it the 24th? Today, I think it is, the 24th. 24th is down as Low Sunday. And I thought, well, I've never heard that before. Because we've just had Easter, and we've had Easter Sunday, we've had Good Friday, we've had Maundy Thursday, and all the other names that Christendom gives to the days in the Bible. The Bible doesn't give those days, by the way. They're a construct of man. But those days are given to them. And Low Sunday, I thought, never seen that before. So I thought I'd look it up. And apparently, nobody knows what it means anyway. But somebody suggested that it might be because there are not many people in church on Low Sunday, because they've already come for Easter. Next time they'll be coming now is Christmas. So Low Sunday, there's not many there. But I'm speaking this morning. I know this is a bit convoluted, but we'll get to the subject in a minute. Speaking this morning about Thomas, unbelieving Thomas, doubting Thomas, frail mortal man. But we're no better, are we? We are frail mortal men. And I want to ask you this morning, how is your faith? Is your faith standing at 100%, or is it standing low, down there at 10%? Maybe not even that. If you're not saved, your faith is non-existent. Your faith is in yourself. Your faith is in this world. The faith is in the politicians. Your faith is in the scientists. So your faith in God is non-existent. You have no faith in God. You might assent to the fact that there is a God, but you don't believe in him. And you certainly don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read a passage from God's word. It's found in John chapter 20. And what I want to do this morning is look at every reference in the Bible to Thomas. And we'll do a little character study of him, and we'll see what God has got to show us about him. So we start at verse 24 of chapter 20. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's a verse to every one of us this morning, isn't it? But it's a verse especially to those who don't believe, who are unbelieving. But these words are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So God will add his blessing to the reading. Father, we praise thee this morning that we're able to come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and gather to his name this morning. We pray that we might know thy presence with us, that we might, by faith, see a risen Lord Jesus Christ, not with our natural eyes, but by the eyes of faith. For faith cometh by hearing, hearing cometh by the word of God. As we read thy word this morning, our God, we pray that you will open our eyes that we might see wondrous things out of thy law. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit we will see Jesus, that one who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but now crowned with glory and with honor. Help us, O God, as we seek to worship thee this morning, and help us as we seek to see in thy word the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Now we're going to run through a few portions of scripture very, very briefly. One in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke. And they only mention Thomas once. And they mention him in relation to the whole of the disciples. His name is mentioned. So if you turn quickly to Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 3. Matthew 10 and verse 3. We see the first mention of Thomas in the Bible. Start at verse 1. And when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. So we have Thomas there mentioned in verse 3. Then go over to Mark 3, Mark's Gospel, and chapter 3. And we see him again. In verse 14 it says, and Jesus ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. Simon, he knew, surnamed Peter, James the son of Zebedee, John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into a house. So Thomas is mentioned there again in the list of disciples. And then in Luke 6:15, we see him there again. And it just lists the disciples again. When it was day, Jesus called unto him his disciples, verse 13. And of them he chose 12, whom he also he named apostles. Simon, whom he called Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So we have there Thomas mentioned 3 times, just once in those 3 Gospels. And there's no little anecdotes about him. There's no stories there for us to latch onto. It's only John who gives us something of the real character of this man, Thomas. And if we turn to John chapter 11 and verse 16, John's Gospel chapter 11 and verse 16, Look at verse 8 first. You remember that this is the story of Lazarus, and Lazarus was sick. And the Lord Jesus Christ was going to visit him and going to see him. But you remember, he was already dead. And Jesus had been this way before. And look at verse 8. Jesus' disciples say unto Jesus, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you want to go up to Judea. Goest thou hither again? You want to go up to Judea, and these men are seeking to stone thee. The Jews are looking to kill you, and you want to go up there. We know that he went up there, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. Look at verse 16, and we see Thomas as an individual mentioned here, not with the other 12 disciples now, but Thomas, which is called Didymus. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, at first glance, you might think he meant die with Lazarus, but no, it means let us also go with him, because there is a possibility that he will be killed by the Jews. Now, there's the man who we always call Doubting Thomas. But in fact, his words there, let us also go, that we may die with Jesus, shows him to be a man of absolute courage, doesn't it? A totally different slant on this man who is known generally as Doubting Thomas. So we see him there in that chapter as a man of courage, a man with faith, and a man with trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go to chapter 14, verse 5. Chapter 14 and verse 5. And we see Thomas's name mentioned again. Let's read it from verse 1. We know these words so well. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's encouraging them to believe in him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he's making them a promise. We sung about promises this morning. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise that is. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way? And here again, he's showing some doubt, isn't he? We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? But Jesus had already told his disciples on many occasions where he was going and what his end would be as far as this world was concerned, even the manner in which he was to die. And yet Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But when you think of it, the other disciples were just as doubting in many ways as Thomas, because we thought last week about the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't believe. Not even John didn't believe until he saw the empty tomb. Prior to that, John didn't believe. He'd heard just as much as this man, Thomas. He'd heard as much as all the other disciples. There's a question for you. How much have you heard this morning? How much have you heard about God? How much have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of us have heard so much from just a few years old and upwards to maybe 80 years old, we've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what have we all done about him? Some have heard very little. You remember Rahab the harlot back there in Joshua, in Joshua chapter 2. And Rahab the harlot, and she says, I have heard. What wonderful words is that? She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't privy to everything the Jews knew. But she believed from what she had heard. And if you have only heard one verse of Scripture this morning, it's the next one that comes along in chapter 14. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the only way, and it's the way that God has given us to come unto him. And it's the way to eternal life. And if we take no notice of it this morning, the consequences are our own. It's not God's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not the fault of the church, but it's the fault of those who turn God's offer of mercy down. Have you turned that offer down? Have you been and sat in churches like this, all over South Wales maybe, and never turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you've heard a lovely message. You've enjoyed the singing and you've enjoyed the company. But you've never turned to Christ for salvation. What a sad position to be in. What a sad position to be in. And this same Lord Jesus may return before this meeting ends. And if he does, he'll take all those who believe to be with him. And the rest will be left behind. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see Thomas there in chapter 14. We've already read about him in chapter 20. We look at it very briefly again. And it mentions his name in chapter 20, verse 23. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Incidentally, that word Didymus there means twin. And in Aramaic, Thomas means twin as well. So if you called him Thomas Didymus or Didymus Thomas, it would mean you were calling him twin, like Di Davis, isn't it? Something like that. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So he wasn't there a week previous when Jesus showed himself to his disciples. And he would not believe. He'd already told the other disciples, yep, you've told me that you saw him, but I will not believe. And if you look in verse 25 there, those are very, very sad words. I will not believe. It's a very strong negative. I shall in no wise believe unless I put my hands in the print of the nails, put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. I will, no way will I believe. How many people are like that today? Stubborn, unbelieving, just like Thomas was here. And it says in verse 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. So all the disciples are there. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. The Prince of Peace in the midst of his disciples. And he says to Thomas, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. It's interesting to note that the other Gospels all contain the word faith. But John's Gospel does not contain the word faith. I only noticed it last week. The word faith does not appear, but the word faithless does. John speaks much about believing, which is faith, of course, but he never actually mentions the word faith, apart from in this instance. And there he says, faithless. But was Thomas completely faithless? See, we can have less faith, and we can have more faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can have less faith, and we can have more faith, depending on our listening to the word of God. But at this moment in time, Thomas was low. Before he saw Jesus, before he met Jesus, he was as low as he could get. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years and learnt of him. And yet Jesus was dead. as far as he was concerned. But at this moment, he met him with the other disciples there in that room. And Jesus says to him in verse 27, "Be not faithless, but believing." And God is saying that to us this morning. We might not be completely faithless, completely without faith, but we might have less faith than perhaps we should have. And he is saying to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a promise that is. And we can rest on that promise by faith. And we love to look at the promises in the Word of God, don't we? But you know what's more important than the promises themselves is the character of the God in whom we believe. And we can rest down, not just on the promises that he makes, but we can rest down in faith upon God himself. We don't like doing that, do we? We love reason. We love the reason of our own minds and the understanding of our own minds. God is saying to us, rely on me in faith. Don't rely on your reason. You see, reason is about that level. It's about man's level. It's no higher. The cleverest of men, however clever they are, if they're up there a little bit, that's great. That's not a problem. But faith in God is much higher than reason can ever be. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. One of the problems we've got today is that we want to see things, don't we? We want to see miracles. We want to see healing. We want to see God. We want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And not one of us here this morning has ever seen him with our eyes. Not one of us. But we understand him and we see him by faith. Faith that is based on touch and sight is not faith at all. If Jesus were here this morning, it would take no faith at all to believe in him. And he is here in spirit. He is with us this morning. He is in this place where two or three are gathered together. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's what he told us. So we can claim that promise this morning that he is with us. And yet, we want to see him and we want to touch him. But one day, and it could be very soon, the faith that we have, however small or however large, that faith will give way to sight and we will see him as he is. What a great day that will be. What a wonderful day. And we see here, Thomas was a man of courage in that verse that we read earlier on, in chapter 11, was it? Or chapter 14. Earlier on, we read about him being a man of courage. But here, he verbalizes his doubt in this passage. Unless I see him, unless I touch him, unless I put my finger in his side, I will not believe. And we all have doubts. And over the last few years, we have had more doubts, perhaps, than ever in our lives before. Life is so uncertain. Just think of those poor people in Ukraine. Think of their lives. Think of their doubt. There's no point in having faith in your future if you're living in a war zone, especially if you're living at the center of it. There's no point in having faith in, when I get old and when I retire. You're not going to get old and retire. The possibility is that you're not going to get old and retire. But what about us? The possibility for each one of us is that we will not get old and retire. Some of us have just about got there. And it's great. It's a good feeling. But God has not promised us tomorrow. Some of us have been there a long time. I can see Brian smiling there. Brian has been there a little while. And Brother Andrew have been retired quite a while. And it's good. You get more time to do things that you want to do, hopefully. But where was I? Brian smiling about being retired. Yeah, it's good. But God hasn't promised us tomorrow. That's where I was. God has not promised us tomorrow. He's not. He's not promised us tomorrow. He's not promised us our next breath. We're dependent on him for that. And some people say, oh, show me a miracle and I'll believe. The miracle is that God has given me and you our next breath. It's an absolute miracle. And if you're saved, the miracle is that God has given you salvation. Salvation through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's natural for us as human beings, because we might be the best of men, but we are men at best. It's natural for us to verbalize our doubts. And even if we don't verbalize them, they're up there and sometimes in there. Today, people want to see and they want to witness the miracles, or they want to see Jesus in person. The fact is that Jesus was there in person, and there were more that didn't believe than that did believe. And it's no different today. The preacher preaches, the pastor preaches, the evangelist preaches, and there are more that don't believe than that do believe. What does God say about those who look for signs and look for miracles and want to see visible evidence? You know, if you've been convinced by a scientist that God exists, that is not really belief. That is not faith in God. If all the scientists in the world decided tomorrow, yep, the Bible's right. God created the heavens and the earth. God created this world in which we live. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to Calvary to die. If all the scientists believed it, and they proved it, we'd have nothing to believe. We'd have no faith. We would need no faith. But our faith is based on belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at the place called Calvary. Now, this message has gone south a long way, because we're nowhere near where we should be. But I'll just finish up with a few points. Let's read a verse of Scripture that proves some of these points. Romans 10 and 17. Verse 17. And that's a verse that has been quoted a couple of times this morning. And it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. This is Paul speaking. And he's saying, but I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, truly, verily, they have heard. He's speaking about Israel in this passage, but it can equally apply to each one of us. I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, they've heard. And it sounds a little bit like Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? The report has gone out. The gospel has gone out. The gospel has been preached in this church since 1906. Have they not heard? Many have heard, and many have never come to trust Christ as their Savior. What does it say? Hearing is by the word of God, and they've heard, but they've not come in faith to Christ. And it goes on to quote from Psalm 19, and it says, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and he saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. That's Isaiah 65 and verse 1. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. A disobedient, that word there could be unbelief. Unbelief or disobedience. And God is saying to his people, I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people and unbelieving people. This is no different to Thomas. He was unbelieving. When he was with those disciples, before Jesus came, he was unbelieving. But when Jesus left, when they left that room, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say today, people want to see and to witness miracles or see Jesus in person. The Word of God says, it is an evil and a perverse generation that seeketh after a sign. So if we are continually looking for signs, we're looking in the wrong place. We should be listening to the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. He is saying to each one of us this morning, come in faith to me. Those who believe, it says in the passage that we read, those who believe without seeing are blessed. Those who believe, Thomas saw and he believed and he was blessed. But Jesus says, those who see, those who believe without seeing, those who have faith without seeing, they are blessed. You see, someone once said, sight is the common way, but faith is the uncommon way. And we should be men and women today of faith, not men and women of sight. The best of men are men at best. Now, the final reference to this man, Thomas, is found in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. It's in my Bible somewhere, but I can't find it. Acts chapter 21. Cancel that. It's Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Very sorry. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. And this is the disciples returning to Jerusalem. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. This is right at the beginning of the book of Acts. And here is Thomas going forth in faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and going with the other disciples and spreading the gospel. And he says in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And there were many other disciples there. And they continued in unity, with one accord, in prayer and supplication. And that's what they did. They needed God in everything they did. And Darren said this morning about tracting. If we go tracting in our own strength, or we go witnessing in our own strength, it will come to naught. But if we go tracting and witnessing in the power of God, then it will bear fruit. We may as well just throw the tracts down to the drain if we give them out willy-nilly, without any thought of salvation for the people that we give them to. I want to read one more verse. That's Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. I mean two more verses, I'm sorry. There's always more verses to read. However many you read, there's always more to see. Chapter 16 and verse 4. And this is Jesus talking. And he says here, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And we've said already about men and women looking for signs. We're living in the midst of this generation that Jesus is talking about now, a perverse and an evil generation, a generation which will not believe in God. Just as Thomas said, I will not believe, the generation that we live in say, I will not believe in God. Show me the proof. Let's have a look. And we can show them as much proof in the Word of God as we like. They still not will not believe. But unto those who believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. One more verse. Can I have one more verse? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. And this speaks to people so eloquently today about their state. It speaks to Christians as well as unsaved people. He says, While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to leave you with that verse. Look at it again, if you can, when you get home. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And the things that we live in a world that is a consumer world. They're only interested in consumerism. And the world has been allowed to go that way by God. The devil controls this world. And he has presented everyone with too much of everything. The things that are seen are the tangible things. The things like the house we live in, the cars that we own, the clothes that we wear. And yet, the Word of God says these things that are seen are not the things we should be worrying about, but the things which are unseen. The things which are unseen are the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is an intangible. It's an intangible thing. We can't touch faith. But that's what we should be looking to, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at the place called Calvary. There's a hymn that says, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Is that where we're looking this morning? Or are we looking in some other direction? My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we praise thee again that we've seen in a measure in thy word, by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know him, that you will turn them in faith to thee, our God, that they will know him as their Saviour and as their Lord. Just like Thomas could say, my Lord and my God. What a word of praise that was to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Help us, our God and Father, before we leave this place this morning, to be able to say, my Lord and my God. We ask it in his name. Amen. And now we'll sing our final hymn. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened that life gate that all may go in. Amen. Calwood, closing prayer for us.
Brother, and preaching your word this morning. I just think about that time with Thomas and the disciples in that room, Lord, and think of it as with the church now. We have a body of believers, Lord, and also people that are in between which do not believe, and that may be like us today here, although we would ask you to show your presence to anybody that has not have that faith of you, Lord, and that they will be encouraged into your kingdom. But we do also think, Lord, of Joe as she travels on this morning, Lord, and we ask you to be with her. Oh, but more than that as well, we ask you to be with those people who are around her and encourage her as she goes on her way, Lord, and when she arrives, Lord, just have your hand around our pastor, Lord, Joe, Hannah, Eve, and Dan, Lord, and just keep them safe. And we ask all these things in our wonderful Saviour's name of Christ Jesus.